Grace and peace to you this day from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I wonder how many of you here this morning feel like this woman. Her name is Louisa Tarkenton. And she once said this, "I wish there was some wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all our mistakes and heartaches and all of our grief could be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door, never to be put on again." If we are honest, there are probably things from all of our past that we regret. There are words that we have said that we would like to have back. There are relationships we have damaged that we would like to repair. There are things we would do differently. I think we all have our regrets. And chances are, most of us have learned some lessons the hard way. But the fact is, we can't go back. We can't do it over. We may have been given a second chance, but we can't erase the errors of our past. Realizing this, there are some people who can't get over that. There are people who spend their life dwelling on their mistakes and missed opportunities in life. They can't really move forward and fully enjoy their life because they are haunted because of past mistakes. The devil is quite satisfied with those lies because he wants us to be chained to our past and live out our remaining life in guilt and misery. But here is good news. Because of Jesus Christ, the past can be just that, the past. And the future is wide open. One of the best statements I have ever heard is, "Today is the first day of the rest of your life." And I sometimes think of that right after Holy Communion. The best of your life can be the rest of your life. Because of Jesus Christ. You see, all along, God has known our situation. He knows that we have all been changed by the fall of our first parents into sin. And even if we have good intentions, we are helpless to save ourselves. But listen to what the Holy Scriptures say in Micah. An Old Testament book. "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." What wonderful words. How does God do that? He does it through Jesus Christ, who makes the difference. And I have learned in my life We should never give up on anybody, because Jesus Christ can make the difference, even the worst of people. And we see another example of that this morning in Paul's own testimony in Galatians 1. He says, "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it." There can't be much worse than persecuting the church of God. But God struck him blind on the road to Damascus one day. And Jesus called out to him, saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And from that time on, Saul, renamed Paul, followed the Lord instead of opposing him. He repented of his former life and was baptized. And he went on to serve the Lord. And note this. As we read on in the Bible, we discover Paul did not spend his life dwelling on the mistakes of his past. And to his credit, he did not attempt to cover them up either. But he began to live a new life in Christ. He did not allow his past to hinder his future. And everybody can learn from that. For if we have made big mistakes in our past, drug abuse, addiction to alcohol, sexual sins, or other serious sins, we can repent of them because of Jesus Christ, learn from them, and often we have a better chance of reaching other fellow human beings who are caught up in the same temptations and sins. God does not intend for us to beat ourselves up, lamenting our past mistakes. They are past. We are called to be ministers to the spiritual problems of others with God's life-changing word. And if we have repented of our sins, we have been forgiven. And we have been called to be ambassadors of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Now, a practical question here. How do we do that? The Holy Scriptures tell us something about how it is done. It greatly helps in ministering to others if we know some of the key passages in the Holy Scriptures that we can share with people when we have the opportunity. You see, it is not our words, but the precious gospel, the Word of God, that has the power to change lives. And 1 Peter 1:23 backs this up. It tells us, "You have been born again." And it finishes up by saying, "through the living and abiding Word of God." It is God's Word that brings change. It was God's Word that brought illumination to Paul and changed his life on the road to Damascus that day. And it is God's Word that changes lives today. I have told some of you that I would recommend that you get your Bible in the front cover or the back cover or somewhere. You write down some key messages from the Holy Scriptures and learn them. or at least have them there where you can read them. Also, you can invite people to church to hear God's saving word from the preachers or teachers. You can get good Christian pamphlets or books and put them into people's hands, and I certainly recommend that you read them first so you know what they're saying. As it says in one of our good Lutheran hymns, let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do. And I know that some of you do that. I thank God for you. Keep doing it. But here's the thing. If we all sow the seed, we will have a wonderful harvest. And that is meant not to bring glory to our name or to St. Mark's name, but the Word makes it clear to bring glory to God's name. God called Paul on the road to Damascus, and God calls us also. Wherever you are in life, God is calling you. He gave Saul a new name. On that day, he spoke to him. And he calls us by our name at our baptism. We are adopted by Jesus Christ into himself. And we are given the privilege to be called a child of God. And I think sometimes that probably all of us at some times don't fully grasp or appreciate what God has done for us. Think of it. The Son of God, knowing that we have so many faults and failures, still loved us so much that he was willing to die for us and offers us the gift of eternal life. And not only have we been called by God, we have also been commissioned by God. In Acts 9, the Lord said that Paul, quote, was a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. Paul's priorities were completely different after his conversion. Before, he was living for himself. After his conversion, he was living for Christ. Let that be said of us also, after we have been called to our eternal home, that through us, the Lord brought the gospel of Jesus Christ that made the difference in the lives of someone else. 2 weeks ago, I spent the weekend with dear friends on a special occasion in Sheboygan Falls, Wisconsin. And as we left St. Paul Lutheran Church that Sunday, I saw a large rock with a cross carved on it just outside the church door. It had a three-word message on it, which sums up what we have been talking about here this morning. It said, find one more. To God be the glory. Amen.